and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. There is nobody that will ever go to the judgment seat of Christ and look at Jesus and say, I sure worked too hard, gave too much money, can't believe I'm so wore out. Most everybody will go to the judgment seat and say, I wish I had given him more. It is always a delight to be at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm like a kid in a candy store when I get to come up here and preach and partner with my good friend, Dr. Jody Jenkins, and all of you good folks. Somebody asked me, when's the first time I preached here? How old is the church? 235 years, somewhere back in that age. And so I've been coming for a long, long time, and I am really excited about all that God is doing. We just finished at Elijah's Harbor, 1 hour from here, our first LEAD conference, L-E-A-D, Leaders Evangelizing and Discipling. And Pastor and Mrs. Jenkins were there, Radford's, and Hayes and Whitson's were there, and then we had some folks from Boone's Creek, and it went off the charts. I mean, it was absolutely thrilling to see all that God did, and we're exceptionally excited about the future. Our next one will be in October. We are training leaders. The emphasis is simply the mission statement, equipping and encouraging leaders for great commission living for the glory of God. We're going to be having generals come in. I have a friend of mine who has lots of military, and he's bringing a couple of generals and their wives. By the grace of God, we're going to bring in some politicians. There is a little salt and light left in this world. They need to be encouraged and equipped. We're going to bring in public school teachers and football coaches and all kinds of people. Everybody's got an orbit. Let me tell you again, everybody's got an orbit. And everybody ought to reach out to that orbit in which God has given you. And so we're doing everything we can to get that done. We've just finished camps. Wow, have we had fun. I've never seen more response to the preaching of the Word of God with teenagers than probably this summer. There were two services, ladies and gentlemen, two services this summer in different weeks when I invited people to come to Christ. Over 100 teenagers in each of those services said yes to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen this morning? Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel still works. I appreciate four of you agreeing with me. We're going to try that again. I said the gospel still works. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Pastor. You tried to warn me, and I got up and got excited and didn't even turn the thing on. I'm going to start all over. No, I'm not. Okay, Mike, everything okay upstairs? You're not going to have a heart attack? Good. Are we still friends? Hallelujah. Great. Whatever you do now that I've cut me on, please don't cut me off. Hallelujah. All right. But we've had people come, and it has been absolutely breathtaking to see all that God has been doing this summer. And I'm glad to partner with a church that believes in soul winning, believes that the gospel still works, still believes in bringing people to Christ. And I want to thank you for hosting our interns, Caleb Rector and Danny Wakefield. We're excited about it. Danny, am I right? You're kind of engaged. Is that right? It's coming Did y'all hear that? He's getting engaged Friday. We're going to put it on Twitter. We're going to put it on Facebook. She'll never know what happened. Everybody else will know before she gets there, all right? So you pray for Danny. You got the rock, boy? You got the rock? You got any money left is the question. Okay. Let me tell you something about marriage. The down payment's nothing. It's the monthly upkeep that'll kill you, buddy, let me tell you. So God bless you. Now, Caleb, are you engaged? Would you want to stand with me? We could help you this morning. Okay, I'm just doing my best. But thank you for hosting Danny and Caleb, and we appreciate that. This is one of the favorite churches that we send interns to. And let me say to those of you who've been keeping and feeding and helping, most every intern that we have had over the last 5 or 6 years is in full-time Christian service. I'll tell you about one, then we'll read the text. His name is Jason. Jason just got married about 8 weeks ago. He's from Canada. He's gone back. He's an assistant pastor. By the grace of God, in the next 3 years, he's going to plant a church in Canada. We got guys on the mission field. And so as you invest in them, you're investing in people literally all across the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. We'll be back tonight. You plan to be back tonight. Unless God changes my mind, I'm going to preach a message on encouragement. And I promise you it will encourage you, so be here tonight. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them,
They come to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it be easier to say of the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way in that house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, and so much they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Bring your simple message this morning entitled, "How to Get a Man to Jesus." How to get a man to Jesus. Thank you. Be seated, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to partner today at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you for who you are, what you're about to do and say. Help me preach. If there's anybody in this auditorium today that doesn't have a Bible assurance they're on their way to heaven, help them to understand that the same God that forgave this man in the first century is the same God that can forgive them in the 21st century. And you will get all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love to read through the Gospels about all the people Jesus saved and healed. Here's something you'll notate. In most of the cases, those who got saved and healed by Jesus were brought to him by somebody else. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, they bring unto him all the sick. They brought the sick. Matthew 8, a centurion brings his servant. Matthew 17, a father brings his son. Mark chapter 8 and verse 32, they bring a blind man to Jesus. In John chapter 1, Andrew finds his brother Peter. He said, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. In John chapter 4, the little woman at the well got a good drink of living water and brought the whole town to Jesus. Here's a simple truth. People bring people to Jesus. Let's say it together. People bring people to Jesus. Now say it like you mean it. Ready? People bring people to Jesus. It's doubtful many people in this area will get saved by the grace of God unless you bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you did not wander into Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church one Sunday morning and say, I came here to get saved. Somebody brought you to Jesus. Here in this story, we have Jesus Christ in his the home base of operations, Capernaum. He goes into a house and sits down. That's how the rabbis taught in that day. It's not long until the house is completely full. There is no room anywhere. Meanwhile, there is a man who is sick of a palsy. Let me explain that. He has a paralysis. There is no way he can get to Jesus on his own. Somebody's going to have to take him. Now, I can identify with this guy. I had a number of years back a temporary paralysis. It's called Bell's palsy. Has anybody ever heard of Bell's palsy? Anybody ever? I hope all you do is hear about it. I woke up on a frosty, cold morning in the state of Alabama. I was on my way to take a shower. I passed by the little lavatory and the glass there, the mirror, and this side of my face had pulled down. That will give you a scare. I thought, my soul, I've had a stroke. And so I sat down and took my pulse, and I said, well, if I'm going to die, I sure do feel good. I believe I'll take a shower first. And so I headed for the shower. I wanted to find a clean bod in case I kicked off. And so I took a shower, and I kept running warm water, trying to pull this side of my face up. It kept pulling down. By the time I got to church, it was bad news. Ladies and gentlemen, I was born ugly, but I had a bad case of the uglies when I got there. I took a drink of water. It came out, looked like a water fountain. There were two little Alabama ladies who walked up to me and said, "We think you have Bell's palsy." I'd never heard of it. The next day, I was no better. I was worse. The pastor said, "You're not going to die on my watch. We're taking you to the doctor." You been to the doctor lately? If you're not sick going in, you will be coming out. Check the bill, buddy. Check the bill. And for $135, he told me the same thing the Alabama ladies told me. You have Bell's palsy. For six solid months, this side of my face did not function. If I was preaching, I could spray five rows, man. You needed a towel while I was preaching. And if it's Bible prophecy, take a bubble from Purdue. I looked like I had chewing tobacco on the side of my mouth. I could only kiss on this side of my face, my wife. But since I've got well, I've made up for lost time. So I understand what it means to have a temporary paralysis. This man is either paralyzed waist down or neck down. Point being, he wasn't getting to Jesus on his own. I tell you again, very few people get to Christ on their own. If people are going to come to Jesus, you're the people that have to bring the people. Now, how do you get a man to Jesus? Well, pick up your reading down, please, in verse 3. The Bible says, and they come unto him, watch the next word, bringing one sick of a palsy. If you take notes, let me make it easy for you. Number one, if you in this building ever get a man to Jesus, it starts with compassion. Four men cared, one man was cured. Jude verse 22, some having compassion, making the difference. Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalmist said in Psalm 142 and verse 4, I looked on my right hand, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Don't miss these words. No man cared for my soul. Now you may have slipped in Buffalo Ridge today and said to yourself, nobody cares for my soul. You hear me plainly. If you're on the last row, if you haven't heard the gospel before, you are cared about in this church. This preacher cares, this pastor cares, and Jesus cares. And you need to understand that. You say, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, but you don't know what Jesus did either. You don't know how bad I am. Yeah, but you don't understand how good Jesus is. And the only person in this building that cannot get saved is one that who will not receive Jesus Christ. Because God cares about you. Now, one of the evidences of a spirit-filled believer is that we have the compassion of Jesus. I was preaching in North Carolina. It was a cold February day. There were three teenagers playing basketball. I thought, my lands, you kids are nuts. But I'm going to get out and shoot hoop with you. And it was two boys and one girl. And so I shot a little hoop with them and I said, hey, aren't y'all freezing? Man, we are. I said, if you'll step inside the church, I got hot chocolate and donuts, Krispy Kreme, amen. And so I said, if you'll do that, we'll talk a little bit. So I got them all set up and I said, now while y'all are eating, let me share with you how to make sure you're going to heaven. I went over sin, sentence, salvation. I went over the whole deal. They all three said, I want to be saved. I led the boy to Christ, led the boy to Christ, led the young lady to Christ. She looked up with tears and said, where did you hear this? I said, what? She said, what you just told me. I said, young lady, you live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Nobody in there ever tell you about Jesus? No, sir. How about you, son? No, sir. No, sir. Get this. All three of those teenagers lived in three separate homes, three blocks from an independent Baptist church, and nobody, including the pastor, had ever been there to tell them about Jesus. When you have compassion, that's your pain and my heart. When you really care, when your heart's affected, your hands will be affected. You will never heal the need until you feel the need. And the question this morning is, you stop and think about this. How many homes are there in a very short area who do not yet know that Jesus Christ is Savior? I was preaching over at Eastside Baptist Church with David Fox. This is meeting before last. My daughter was in the service. She sat next to a 20-year-old girl. Now get this, not far from here, Tennessee, Bible Belt, Bible Buckle. I preached on the resurrection. When I finished, she came to Christ. She said to my daughter, who led her to Jesus, I always knew Jesus died, but I didn't know this morning until your daddy told me that he had risen from the dead in Tennessee. And there are folks, ladies and gentlemen, who know about a historical Jesus, but nobody has cared for their soul. Now listen, if you are ever going to get a man to Jesus, it starts in your heart and there's compassion. Do you have that? But I want you to go again and look at verse 3, for he said, they bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Number one, there's compassion. Do you have it? Number two, there's cooperation. Four guys work together. And by the way, Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, finally, brethren, be ye all of one mind. Now, if you've been here two or three Sundays at all, and those of you who are members here, you are positive of this. Your previous pastor, Dr. Gene Lashley, loved unsaved people and is out preaching the gospel today. You know that. There's no question in your mind that your present pastor loves the Lord Jesus Christ and he loves the lost. Now, the question that I have to ask you is, do you, as part of this ministry team really love the lost, and are you unifying around the things of God? Be all of one mind. If your mind was put here and Pastor Jenkins' mind was put here, would they be alike? Are you just doing church? Well, I'm here this morning, man, because I do church every Sunday. Quit doing church and walk with Jesus. Quit just yakking about everything that doesn't count and start speaking the truth and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you like organized sports? Anybody like football here? Could I see your hands? Anybody like football? I think football's the reason God made TV. Amen. 22 guys in a cow pasture running with a pigskin through plumbing in either end, man, killing each other. That's something else. I have a question. Has there ever been a football game in history that eternally changed lives and people came to Jesus? Answer, no. Most of you who raised your hand, you're not exactly sure who won the Super Bowl. Did you know there is a better team? You say, what team is it? It's called Team Church. In this local assembly, it's called Buffalo Ridge Baptist Team. Can I get an amen team? You say, well, who's the owner? Jesus Christ. He gave his red royal blood for it. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. You say, well, who's the coach? Would you stand, Coach Jenkins, please, and turn around and look at the team this morning. Everybody glad for the coach? Say amen. Amen. Sure you are. Thank you, coach. Now, the truth of the matter is, the coach can't coach people who don't want to be coached. You say, you're so sick. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm trying to be helpful this morning. The coach can't coach people who don't show up for practice. Hello? The coach can't coach people who just want to ride the pine. The coach coaches people that want to win some games. In our situation, we want to win some souls for Jesus Christ. Can I give you four things this morning that you can be involved in so that you can be a person of cooperation? You know, in every organization, there are one investors. Let me say to every one of you who are supporting the bus ministry, hallelujah. And for those of you that are out knocking on doors, hallelujah. I don't want to be around negative people. You're negative around me, I'm not going to stay long. Well, you know, the bus ministry's seen its day. I said, well, that's interesting. Well, there's not much fruit out of the bus ministry. I said, that's interesting. Her name was Laverne. She lived in a tar paper shack in West Virginia. I saw it. I don't think it's still standing. Her husband took me to see it. Laverne was picked up on a van and taken to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and got born again. She married a pastor and she only served as his wife for 40 years. And I want to say to you, you're making a terrific investment when you invest in the bus ministry. You're making a terrific investment of people who are going to walk on with God. You can invest your time, energy, and effort. Stop and think about this. These guys were all working someplace. They took time out of their work to carry a man to Jesus, couldn't get there. They sweated. You ever been in the Palestinian sun? It's work to get there. There was cooperation. They weren't arguing. Favorite pastime of some Baptists is argue. Why in the world do you argue? Can you imagine up front and at the back, the guys up front are hearing the guys back saying, you guys are walking too fast. By the way, why don't you put it down a little lower? I'm tired of eating your dust. Good night. By the time they finished with that, the paralytic wouldn't have been paralyzed. He'd have been dropped off on his head and dead. Why in the world do born-again Baptists argue when we ought to cooperate for the cause of Christ? They're investors. Then they're inviters. Did you know that everybody in this building can invite somebody to church? I would love to hear. Preacher, let me one-up you. I would love to hear on the 235th birthday of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that you don't have 235 visitors. Let's go another 15 and get a good 250. And let's get them here under the sound of the Word of God. How many of you believe Pastor Jenkins can preach the gospel? Would you raise your hand? Then why don't you get them here to hear it? Why don't you bring them here under the sound of the Word of God? They're inviters. You ought to, every time you go into a business, you ought to say, hey, have you heard of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Right down there on Sunset. Do you know about that church? Man, I tell you what, if you've never been, you have missed a blessing. Well, you ought to meet our pastor. You ought to be bragging on that. You ought to be inviting. Then they're intercessors. Everybody can pray. You can pray during the services. You can pray before the services. Everybody can pray. Holy Spirit of God, use my pastor. Use Evangelist Farrell today. Help the Word of God to go forth. There are inviters. There are investors. There are intercessors. And then there are instructors. You say, I don't know how to give the gospel. Learn. Learn. Don't ever use that excuse. Learn. Walk up to the pastor and say, Pastor, the truth of the matter is I've never gone out on visitation because I'm scared. I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. Can you put me with somebody that will take me and I can listen how they do it? I told the people up at Elijah's Harbor, my daddy took me soul winning. I'm indebted to him. He's in heaven. I'll never forget, never forget. He said to me, son, we're going soul winning. And I said, I'm not going to say anything. He said, that's no problem. Just get in the car. We got in the car and I shut the door and I turned and I said, I'm not going to say anything. He said, no problem. Just ride. We're getting ready to get out of the car. I said, I'm not going to say anything. He said, no problem. I will. We went to the front door. He said, son, ring the doorbell. My dad had a sense of humor. Son, ring the doorbell. I said, Daddy, I'm not going to say anything. He said, son, you use your fingers for that, not your lips. I heard people coming. People say to me, do you get butterflies when people are coming and you're waiting at the door? No, I don't get them. I get dive bombers, man. They explode inside of me. And so I looked at my dad. He said, I know you're not going to say anything. We went time and time and time and time. And then one day he said, now you're going to speak. I didn't do such a hot job the first time, but I kept learning from my dad. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever use the excuse, I can't do it. You have inside of you the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Scripture. You are responsible. Now, get this. If this community is affected and infected by Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, everybody is going to have to take your part. I just came from the state of Alabama and I was preaching with my friend, Brother McLaughlin, down there. Their church has gone from 100 to 200. In case you're wondering, that's twice as many as they started with. Sundays are, the summer Sundays they're calling the summer surge. You've heard of the summer slump? By the way, let me stand here. I turned to your pastor and I said, attendance is great for summertime, man. So let me say thank you for being here. But on Sunday night, he decided that every Sunday night he would preach for 1.5 hour and the rest of the time they were going out. They're going out and knock on doors. They're going out and share their faith. They're going out and tell people in the neighborhood. He said, can you preach and let us go? I said, absolutely. Most everybody that came to the Sunday night service was involved in outreach. Now, there were a few folks who had wheelchairs, but they packed information packets. There were some folks who could not do what other folks could do, but it was exciting to me because everybody was involved. Everybody was involved. I went out with Pastor McLaughlin, and he said, would you do me a favor? I said, what's that? He said, I'm about half your age. Would you witness and let me listen to you? You know, there's a lot of people home on Sunday night. You can't believe how many people are home on Sunday night. And so we knocked on one door, and they let me give the gospel. Nobody got saved. I finally got to a door, and April came with a little baby. And I said, April, I am so glad to come up and talk to you. This is Pastor McLaughlin. I didn't say I was an evangelist from out of town. I said, this is Pastor McLaughlin. He pastors the Fairview Baptist Church. And I said, I'd like to give you a little invitation to come and a little gospel track. I said, by the way, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? She said, no, sir. I gave her the gospel. She didn't shut the door. She didn't run away. And by the way, this is a miracle. The little baby never whimpered the whole time I was witnessing. That's of God. And she began to weep and came to Jesus. You know, there are Aprils out there waiting for you to give them the gospel, and you need to work together as a team. There ought not be a small percentage of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that's out sharing their faith. Everybody in this body ought to be sharing your faith. Everybody can do something. Say it with me. Everybody can do something. But I've got to go on, and I want you to notice down in verse 4. When they could not come nigh to him for the press, then covered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. One, compassion. Do you have it? Two, cooperation. Will you give it? Three, there was consecration. They ran into a problem. Hey, Dr. Jenkins, wouldn't you like to have the problem? And you'll have to tell the ushers every Sunday, okay, we're going to fill up. We're going to have too many people. We're already putting chairs out. We're going to have an overflow. Please tell our normal, faithful, godly people. We'll show it by way of video because we want every visitor in here. Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? They had a full house. A full house. Because the Word of God and the God of the Word was there and it was being preached. So these guys carrying the bed come and take a look. We got a problem. Yeah, I see it. Can't get in the door. Yeah. Can't get in the window. Yeah. What are we going to do? I'll figure it out. I love to be around people who are creative. So they go out the outside. The steps were not on the inside. They were on the outside. They come up to a flat roof. Most of them were flat that day. We're going to say this guy where Jesus was ministering had a little more high dollar house. So it wasn't thatch roof. He had tiling. And so they set this fellow down. And I see one of the four. He goes over and he starts removing tiling. And there's a hole like this. And he said, there's Jesus. Let's get him down. And negative people never get anything done. How are you going to get this big guy down through that small hole? Optimistic, creative people say it's very simple. You make a big hole out of the small hole, get busy. And tiles are flying. Do y'all have a sense of humor? Are you sitting now in a Bible study with Jesus Christ down below, and suddenly you look up, and the owner got a sunroof he never paid for? Isn't that amazing? And they lower him down. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it's required in stewards a man be found faithful. You say, preacher, do you know how many times I have been to the door of my neighbor and given the gospel? No, but I know Paul Hunter. I went with my dad as a boy. We would knock on the door, and Paul would say what some of your friends have said. Gonna do it one day, Reverend. Gonna do it one day. I was there the day Paul Hunter bowed his head because my dad refused to quit going. On the day I buried my father, Paul Hunter walked up, put his hand in my hand in front of my dad's outside shell because he's with Jesus. And with tears, Paul Hunter said, your daddy just wouldn't quit coming. Your daddy just wouldn't quit coming. I said, I know. I know. And that's why Paul Hunter today is in heaven. It's always too soon to quit. Say it. It's always too soon to quit. Say it. It's always too soon to quit. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I just preached last Sunday at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, with my dear friend, Dr. Paul Chappell. They have about 95,000 homes thereabouts in Lancaster. Those 95,000 homes, Pastor Jenkins, are visited three times a year by people from Lancaster Baptist Church. Three times a year. Home after home after home. You say, well, either they hate them or love them. Everybody must be saved. I preach Sunday night. Who gets saved on Sunday night? Here they come. Here they come. People are getting saved. Look, the gospel still works. And those people are still working it, and they're still going and going and going. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, do you know how many times I have invited my relatives to come to church and they still haven't come? No, but I know about the maintenance man in Florida. He said to me Saturday night, pray for my mother and my brother. I said, what's their need? My mother is almost died twice. She's very ill. She needs Jesus. I said, what about your brother? He said he may be the meanest man in this town. He needs Jesus. I said, I'll pray for them. Are you going to invite them? He said, absolutely. He invited Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wouldn't come. Friday, they showed up. You've never seen a happier maintenance man. I'm standing at the back. The building's filling up. They're putting out chairs. Tap. I turn around. Dr. Farrell, yes. Look down on the front row. Yes. You see the lady in the wheelchair? Yes. That's my mother. She's here. Now, sir, she doesn't want to be here, but she is here. He said, do you see the man sitting next to her? I said, yes. He said, that's my brother. And, sir, he really doesn't want to be here. He said, now, if you ever preach good, you better preach real good tonight. No pressure there. Man, I tell you what, I got in the Word of God, Brother Jenkins, and this old boy had never been in church. He didn't know what an invitation was. He got up and said he needed to be saved, so we led him to Jesus. We came to the end of the service, and he leaned over to his mama and said, Mama, don't you want to be saved? She said, if you'll hurry up and push my wheelchair down there, I sure do. He just invited. You say, that's a wonderful story. Yeah, but you hadn't heard the end of it. A couple of years later, I was back. Tap on my shoulder. There's the maintenance man. I'm just doing a Sunday this time. You remember me? Yes, sir. You remember my mother and my brother? I said, yes. How are they? He said, they're fine. They're both in heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up. You come to a funeral, and the person you didn't care about is laying in state and in hell. It's too late to have compassion. It's too late to have cooperation. It's too late to have consecration. It's too late. There's no praying for the dead. There's no second chance. Finally, I want you to notice down in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Number 1, compassion. Do you have it? Number 2, cooperation. Number 3, consecration. And number 4, confidence. Not in self, but in the Savior. It's called faith. I want everybody to look carefully at this phrase, when Jesus saw their faith. Everybody look right this way. I want to talk first about the faith of the four men. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Mark 11:24, therefore, whatsoever you pray and believe, you shall receive. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now you hear me all over this building. Everybody lives somewhere, works somewhere, and you know people. No faith in your life? Why would anybody want to ever come and hear your pastor preach? Little faith in your life produces almost no faith in the life of the other. But if you've got a strong faith, your faith will not save the person that needs to be saved, but it will help them want to be saved. Your faith creates a desire for what you have and some faith in the life of people who don't know Jesus. Say, preacher, I don't understand that. I was preaching in Wilmington, North Carolina. Man came. He had been witnessing. He brought 14 co-workers to an evangelistic meeting. 11 of the 14 trusted Christ. Two rows cleared off. They introduced the people. I'll never forget this. There's a big guy up front, and he looked back and he said, John, that's the guy that invited him and prayed for him, you've been telling me for 2 years I needed to do this. I got saved. Man, he ripped out of his seat. That guy met him in the middle. They hugged, shouted. I mean to tell you, it was exciting. I'll tell you why. Because John believed God could save. I got to get right down here where you are this morning and just ask you a simple question. Do you really believe that the gospel still works? Jesus still saves. The Holy Spirit still comes in lives, and God can forgive sins. I'm not interested in hoopla this morning. I just wonder, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Then why don't you act like it? Why don't you talk like it? Why don't you start believing God for your family? Why don't you start believing God for your boss? Why don't you start believing God that he who parted the Red Sea made the sun stand still and 6 hours one Friday paid our sin debt? Why don't you believe that he can again? Where is your faith? You know, at Nazareth, Jesus came and he could do not many great works in that city because of their unbelief. You say, preacher, God can do anything he wants. Yes, he can. But he operates among people who believe he can. And I'd like to ask you all the way in the balcony, do you really believe that God can? Do you really believe he can revive? Do you believe he can save? Do you believe that he can bring people to himself? Then why don't you act like it? These men were convinced. You know why God saves people? You say, why? Number one, God saves people for the exaltation of his son. When people get saved, God gets credit. God gets the glory. Number two, he does it for the emancipation of the sinner. Nobody can save a sinner but Jesus. Number three, he does it for the encouragement of the saints. Nothing like being in a service when people come to Jesus. But the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. Now, would you listen to me very, very carefully? At this point, I'm going to do something that's only for a small group of people in this building. If you were to die right now just like you are and could change nothing about your life, are you positive you'd go to heaven? If you just answered no or I don't know, I want to tell you, you're a part of their faith. You say, how do you know? Because the fifth man was laying flat on his back. All he'd heard was Jesus. Got to get him there. Jesus can heal him. Jesus can save him. I don't care. We'd cut a hole in the roof, man. Let's get Jesus. What do you talk about on your job? He's being lowered down. He's looking up at the men who cared. When he gets down eye level, probably all he can do is twist his neck. But the eyes of helplessness meet the eyes of holiness. And I hear that man say, he can. Now, you're listening well this morning, so please get this. The skeptical religious leaders were right. Who can forgive sins but God only? Of that part, they were right. It was a sarcastic remark, but even that was right. Get this all over this building. Nobody can forgive your sin except Jesus. Mary cannot forgive your sin. The Pope cannot forgive your sin. Sacraments cannot forgive your sin. Your work cannot forgive your sin because your work doesn't work. Only Jesus can forgive your sin. There is nothing you have ever done in your life that has taken away one of your sins unless you have repented of your way and put your faith in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. I'm going to heaven because I was baptized as a baby. No, you're not. No baby in the entire Bible ever got baptized to go to heaven, and you didn't either. It's a lie. I'm going to heaven because of communion. In the first place, it's the Lord's Supper. And communion has never saved anybody, including you. Only Jesus saves. I'm doing my best. If your best was good enough, you wouldn't need Jesus. You have got to forget and forsake everything you have ever had confidence in. And you have to look alone by faith to Jesus Christ. And you have to believe that Jesus is God and there is no other God. And then you have to believe what he did for you. Let me show you the difference. If we knocked on doors today in Great Tennessee in Johnson City, hi, you believe Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected? Most everybody would say yes. But the majority of this county is not saved because they would agree with three facts, which never saved you. If you're going to be saved, you have to accept three realities. Christ died for my sin, shed his blood for my sin, was buried for my sin, loves me in spite of my sin, raised again to justify me. You can believe everything the Bible says and go to hell. Not until you transfer all of this intellect to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ do you ever go to heaven. When did you come from, I understand, do I personally, by faith, receive Christ? Let me ask you a question. What was this paralytic going to do? Was he going to get up on his own and serve God? I'll work for you. He couldn't work. He couldn't move. Hey, I'll run out there and get baptized. He couldn't go anywhere to get wet. I'm going to join the church. He couldn't join anything. He was a beggar. You know, ladies and gentlemen, until you see yourself as a helpless, hopeless, hellbound beggar, you'll never get saved. But when you're convinced you can't, and you're absolutely certain only Jesus can, and you'll exercise that faith, let me show you what happens. In verse number 10, you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sickle palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way in thy house. And immediately he got up. There is only one person that can take away your sin. One. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't forsake everything you've been trying and trusting, you will go to hell with all of your intellect. But if you look to Christ alone and trust him alone, he'll enter your life, take away your sin, put you up on your feet, allow you to walk with him, and change your life. Now the question is, has that ever happened? If Jesus stepped by your seat and said, good morning, I'm Jesus Christ, tell me why I should take you to heaven. Well, I go here to Buffalo Ridge, won't work. I'm doing the best I can. I've had communion. We had the Jenkins over for supper. You know, I know Brother Lashley. None of that's going to cut it. I've taught Sunday school here for years. You can go to hell teaching Sunday school. You've got to go to Jesus to go to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When you look at the end of this story, which to me is exciting, because these four guys had compassion and cooperation and consecration and confidence, a man came in, carried, and walked out on two feet. What does that mean? Well, the first thing you rejoice over is the fact when you study this passage of Scripture and look at it very carefully, a sinner got saved. Now, I want to say to you without apology, if sinners getting saved does nothing for you,
You need to check and see if you've ever been saved yourself. Because when Christ comes in your life, you'll have a heart for what he has for, and he died for sinners. But one of my favorite parts of this story, preacher, is not only did a sinner get saved, but the skeptics got silenced. There's a group of religious leaders there who can forgive sins but God only. Here's what it would sound like today. They're standing there. They're seeing this hole in the roof because these men have made up their mind they're not going to let this man die. I hear one of the skeptics say to the other skeptic, looking at the hole in the roof, did they get a permit for that? Let me tell you who usually in the church are the biggest critics. You ready? The biggest critics in most any independent Baptist church are people doing nothing, criticizing people trying to do something. Do you realize these religious leaders, these Pharisees, pass by that lame man every day and never so much as pause to help him at all? I want to say to you, my young preacher friend, in Jesus' name, don't let the critics bother you. Critic is normally nobody doing nothing, attacking somebody doing something. You know why God put delete on the computer? So you can use it. Push it. I've walked away from more critics. I said, if you want to argue, argue with yourself. See you later. I tell people, if you're going to kick me hard, just as long as it's forward, I'm still moving. We've got a generation that is ragtagging, complaining. I don't like public invitations. You've never led anybody to Jesus in your life. Why don't you just admit it? I don't like all this soul winning. You're interrupting their supper. I'd like to interrupt hell for them so they don't go. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when you get a heart like these four guys, who, by the way, their names are never mentioned. Well, I'd do it if Pastor would get up and commend me. Just stay at the house. The name that is mentioned is Jesus. And that's the important part of the whole story. You know, skeptics, Brother Jenkins, can't complain when they bring a man in flat on his back that can't move, but it's really hard when he stands up, takes the bed, and walks by the critics to argue with a miracle. Amen. Just ask God to do some miracles. And the saints got strengthened. They said, we've never seen it on this wise. I love, literally, if this is wrong, forgive, I love to preach in this church. I really do. I enjoy being with your pastor. One of the greatest things in all this world is when one precious person puts their faith in Jesus. There isn't anything better. And it strengthens our faith, doesn't it? Can I ask you all over this building, if you drop dead right now, are you certain your faith would take you to heaven? You just answered no, or I don't know. You're going to get a chance in just a minute. Can't join the church, not baptize any money. Anybody, you take your money home. We don't want it. But you can get saved today. And you may have crawled in here, but you can walk out in the power of God. I want to ask you a question. If Jesus came and he stood right here and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm closing the service, and I'd like for the following people to come stand with me because you are Buffalo Ridge people who are helping men and women get to me. Would you be sitting or standing? Everybody's got an answer to that. Don't tell me you can't. Everybody can do something. The question is, are you contributing? I was preaching in North Carolina. I've been preaching at Ambassador Baptist College. A buddy of mine called me. He said, on Wednesday night, Doc, you know that they don't have service. Everybody goes to local church. Yes. Would you come and preach for me? I said, I'd love to. I went to a church I'd been in before. He called me Wednesday afternoon. I was preparing to preach to the believers. What unsaved people come on Wednesday night, on a number Wednesday night? He said, Doc, word's out, you're coming. He said, now my phone's ringing off the hook. We're going to have a lot of lost people. Can you preach the gospel? I said, love to. I'm sitting on the platform. He's leaning over me. He said, see those teenagers? All of them are lost. That guy brought them. And by the way, every teenager can bring people to Jesus. He said, you see that couple just walk in? They're lost. He said, you see that grandmother and grandfather walked in? They're just lost. He said, my soul, we got them all over the auditorium. I said, hallelujah, Wednesday night. I'm going fishing. I preached a little, simple gospel message.
29 precious people came to the foot of the old rugged cross and got saved. You know, they were all amazed and said, "We've never seen it on this fashion." Old country boy in that church, English wasn't real good, but he met me in the lobby, and here were his exact words. "Son, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And I'd like to tell you today, it ought not be unusual. It ought to start being usual that we get amazed with God and understand what He can do when somebody wants to help somebody get to Jesus." Let's bow our heads together. Now listen to me, because I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus Christ walked up to your seat and put the book of life, which registers every name of people that are definitely going to heaven, He walked up to your seat, had the book of life, and put it in your lap, and He said, "Find your name." Are you certain it's there? Don't tell me about confirmation, catechism, baptism. Don't tell me about going to church. Don't tell me about some dream you had. Don't tell me about some vision you have. When was the time and place in your life that you looked away from everything and you focused only on Christ? You received Him for who He is, God, and for what He did for you. He died for you, was buried for you, raised again for you. And you are certain, on the basis of the Bible, your name's in the book of life. How many of you could say, "I have come to Jesus Christ by faith, and I am certain my name is in the book of life. I can prove it by the Bible"? If you don't know that, please don't say that you do. But if you could say, "I'm certain of it, I can prove it from my Bible," would you raise your hand as a testimony? Absolutely positive, no doubt about it. Thank God for you. You may take it down. If you did not just say yes, you have been brought today, and you're a paralytic, and you're helpless, and you're hopeless, and you're hell-bound, but Jesus loves you just like you are. And sitting right there in your seat, you can focus on Him and receive Him right now. You say, "Preacher, I don't have the assurance people around me have. I'd like it." Would you do this? Let me lead you in a prayer. Now, let me explain that. The word "pray" means to ask. So the prayer doesn't save you. You're asking Jesus, God Almighty, to save you. Let me lead you in a simple prayer. I'll pray a phrase. You pray it from your heart silently. I'll pray the next phrase. You pray it from your heart silently. And if you'll pray this and mean this today, He's going to hear you, save you, forgive you, put your name in the book of life. If you did not raise your hand, if you do not have a Bible assurance your name is in the book of life, would you pray with me silently from your heart? I'll pray a phrase and wait for you. You pray it from your heart silently right now. Jesus is ready to cleanse you, forgive you, and take away every sin. Here's the prayer. Would you pray it with me? Pray it silently. "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Nothing I've ever done or could do will save me. Jesus, I repent of my sin. I put my faith in You as the only God. I now receive You, Your righteousness. I receive the gift of eternal life. My name's in Your book. I'm coming one day to Your heaven. Help me never to be ashamed of what You just did for me." We're bowed before the Lord. Did you pray that? Wasn't a prayer that saved you, but if you prayed it and meant it by faith, the same God who raised up and cleansed the sins of the paralytic and let him walk is your God right now. I got news for you. That guy didn't sneak out the back door and say, "I don't want anybody to know." He was thrilled. And I'm positive of this. If you just prayed and meant what you prayed, you're thrilled too. It's the greatest moment in your life. We're bowed before the Lord. I'd never embarrass you in 10 million years. But if you did not raise your hand a moment ago, but you did pray and ask God to come in your life, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to share that with me. You will say nothing. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. When you raise your hand and I see it, I will say thank you. I won't name you. I don't even know you from out of town. But I'll know today you made the wisest decision you have ever made. And I'll do whatever I can to help you. As our heads are bowed, upstairs and down, wherever you are in this building, if you prayed with me today that simple prayer, and you ask God to come in your life, you're not ashamed and you're not embarrassed. If you prayed with me today that simple prayer, and you're glad you did, right now, please raise your hand with mine. Just hold it straight up. Good. I see them. Good. Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Thank God so much for you. God bless you. You may take your hands down. Are there others along with these? I prayed that. I meant that. I'm so glad that I did. I am not the least bit embarrassed. Thank you. Yes. Are there others along with these? When you come to Jesus, it's the greatest moment in your life. Anybody else in this building, would you raise your hand? Let me see it. I'll pray for you. I'll help you today. Anywhere else in this building, pray for me. May we stand, please. Everyone standing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for some today who said yes to you. May all of heaven have cause for rejoicing for what you just did in their lives. May this be a moment that is supernatural and spectacular that will give you glory. Now we're bowed before the Lord. As we're bowed, I want to speak a word only today, that those of you that prayed with me and raised your hand, no one else please but you. If you prayed with me a moment ago while all the heads and hearts are bowed, if you prayed with me a moment ago and you raised your hand, I want to say a word to you, tell you how we're closing the service, but I only speak to you. If you prayed with me a moment ago and raised your hand, right now, please, look up at me. Just look straight up at me. Let me just wait till I can see you. Do you know what happened to you today? All of your sins are gone. Your name's in the book of life. You belong to Jesus. It's the greatest deal in the entire universe. Those of you that are looking at me today, if you know anything, you remember this. When Jesus died, he died publicly. He didn't hide in a room. He wasn't ashamed of you. When you receive Jesus, I know you're not ashamed. I'm looking at you in the face. You're not ashamed. That's good. In a moment, everybody will be bowed, will be singing. Your song says, just as I am. Here's how we close the service. I'm going to ask each one of you right now that's looking at me, when we begin to sing, to leave your seat. I'm going to come and meet you. You're not joining the church. I'm going to say, welcome to God's family. We're going to pray with you. We're going to put some free information in your hand. We're going to send you home. And when you go home, you're cleansed. You're forgiven. You belong to God. This is not a speech. But here's the truth. If you're like this, I don't want anybody to know this. Nothing happened. Because when you really get what God gives, you're not ashamed. I'm looking at you. You're not ashamed. We're going to sing right now, just as I am. And I want every one of you, whether you're upstairs or down, I want you to leave your seat and come as quickly as you can, because literally, heaven is going to celebrate for you. We're going to begin to sing. You couple, you sweet folks over here, you come right now. Play the first chord, please. Help me sing. You come right now. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that to my right, Pastor. Of God I come. Dear Father, thank you for those that have come. There's still room at the foot of the old rugged cross. Now we're bowed. If all you did was pray a prayer and didn't mean it, don't come. You're not going to heaven anyway. You're ashamed of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you. But if you prayed and meant what you prayed, and I believe you did, along with some who've already come, I want you to step out right now. If you'll take that first step, God will help you take every other step today. I prayed it. I'm in it. I'm glad that I did. There's some coming right now. There are people who are coming to Jesus right now. Please leave your seat, sir. Please, ma'am, come. Let heaven rejoice. Let us be a blessing to you. Just as I am and waiting on. We're praying. We're bowed. And you're going to leave your seat and come. Would you do that right now? God bless you as you come. Just as I am. Get your Bible. Seek not to rid my soul. Thank you. Christ. Father, to God be the glory. Thank you for couples, moms and dads, young people have come. There's still room at the foot of the old rugged cross. I'm going to do something I don't do a whole lot of, but I want you to listen to me. Just a moment ago, I watched a man lovingly bring somebody to Jesus, actually a man and his wife. And we're going to sing one other verse, then I'm going to speak to you people, we're going to close and go home. There may be somebody near you, upstairs or down. Do you have enough compassion to ask them to come? Are you worried about your reputation? It might be that you and your wife would turn to a couple. It might be that you've asked them before, but they said no. But this morning, your husband might come to Jesus. Would you believe by faith that others yet could be saved? Thank God for those that have. But would you believe by faith that others yet could be saved? We're going to sing Just As I Am and Waiting On. This is the last verse. And I'm going to ask you to invite somebody to come to Jesus. If there's anybody near you that you're not sure is going to heaven, would you invite them today to come to Jesus and be saved by the grace of God? We're going to sing. This is the last verse. Did you mean it, sir? Would you come? Did you mean it, ma'am? Do you have a friend that needs Jesus? Would you invite them right now? Just as I am and waiting not. If you'd like to go be saved, I'll go with you. If you'd like to go to Jesus, I'll walk with you. I want you to know my Savior can cleanse each spot, oh land. Now, church, would you look right up here, please? If you are glad today the gospel still works and people got saved, would you say amen? Amen. That was weak. I didn't say Tennessee might have a good year. I said people got saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Now, got a question for you. Are you helping men and women get to Jesus? Do you have compassion, cooperation, consecration, and confidence that he can? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask, if anybody lies, they'll meet you, not me. Pastor, you and I alone are the ones watching. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you could say, on a regular basis, I'm helping people get to Jesus. I'm helping people get to Jesus. I can prove it by my lifestyle. Now, if you lie, you'll have to meet God, not me. How many of you could say and prove on a regular basis, I'm helping people get to Jesus? If you could say it and prove it, would you raise your hand to the Lord? If you can say it and prove it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. God bless every one of you. Small crowd. How many of you would say, I realize today that there's something I can do. There's something I can do. And beginning today, I realize that I need to be helping people get to Jesus. And by God's grace, starting today, I'm going to start helping people get to Jesus. Starting today, I'm going to start helping people to get to Jesus. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to have compassion, cooperation, consecration, and believe God through confidence that He can. I wasn't one of a small minority, but beginning today, I want to start helping people get to Jesus. Pray for me. Raise your hand real high. Hold them up real high if that's you. Want to help people get to Jesus. Leave them up just a minute. If you raised your hand, would you look right up here? Pastor, I don't say this everywhere I go. There's some churches I don't even go back to. You are a blessed man to have this congregation. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. And Pastor, if you don't mind, if you'll come and stand right here, I want them to come stand with you. I'm going to ask just those of you that look at me today, I want to help people get to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to register your decision by coming and standing on either side of Pastor Jenkins, allowing him to pray for you, that you in turn will be like one of these four unnamed people and help people get to Jesus. We're only going to sing one stanza. If you're in the balcony, you have time to get here. Back row, you have time. Would you leave your seat and come and stand on either side of the pastor and say, I want to start helping people to get to Jesus? If you mean that, Leave your seat quickly and come. We're going to sing together. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that just keep playing through, please, if you don't mind. Preached on is the heartbeat of this church. If I could open my chest and give my heart to somebody and let them preach on it, this man did that today. This is my heart. This is what we're trying to do. This is what the ministry wall is all about. Every ministry out there is to be a soul-winning ministry. If you're on patrol duty, that's on the wall, but you ought to be a soul-winning man who watches the cars during the services. If you usher here, you need to be a soul-winning usher. This is what it's about. I appreciate you, precious people, all of you, all of you. The balcony all the way down, up here with me, back there in your seat. I am honored. I'm honored to be your pastor. I sat on the front porch last night with my wife, and I told Becky, I said, Becky, I just don't want to hinder the Lord. I said, I don't want to stop what he's trying to do here. God has his hand here, friend. God is here. The Lord is here. We give him the praise. We give him the honor. Give him the glory. And why is he here? Because he wants to draw people to himself. I'd like to ask Vicki Bowman. Where is Vicki? She's here. Everybody, here's Vicki. Just keep playing through. I like to hear it. Vicki came today. Miss Lashley dealt with her. Vicki, today you're trusting Jesus as your Savior. Is that correct? Today you're asking Jesus to come into your heart. Welcome to the family of God. We're so thrilled for you. Jeff Ward, where is Jeff at? There's Mr. Ward. Danny has been dealing with him. Mr. Ward, today you are trusting Jesus as your Savior. Is that correct? We're thrilled for you. We're thrilled that you're here. Welcome to the family of God. Where is Michelle Sosa? Here's Michelle, and Mr. Sosa's right there. First time visitors. Precious couple. Both of you are coming today, and you're trusting Jesus Christ. Is that true? We're so thrilled for you. Happy for you. Welcome to the family of God. It's not what this church did. It's not even what this preacher did.
It's what God did for you. The Lord. Caleb, if Caleb will stand, Caleb Edens, this is one of our faithful, faithful families. Chuck and Miss Sherry's boy, coming for years. Came down the aisle today and I said, "What are you coming for?" Tears in his eyes. He said, "I got saved today. I got saved today." We called Brother Chuck over here because I know as a father that I as a daddy would want to be there when my boy makes a decision. Caleb, today you're trusting Jesus. Is this true? You're not ashamed of it. I believe that. Tell that you're a young man like your daddy. You're a man's man. You're a man of your word. All of you precious people that's trusted Christ, it's all because of Jesus. We didn't do this. The Lord did. We'd like to ask you to keep coming. We want to train you. We want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you. This would be great. Are you happy you came today? Amen, friends. Been a great service, hasn't it? Dr. Tom Farrell will be back tonight. I think we'll let him preach again, okay? He's preaching on encouragement tonight, God willing, unless the Lord changes his mind. You precious people who are standing here, many of you are already doing something. We can all do more, right? Amen? Did he not preach on what we've been trying to preach for a long time? Everybody has a circle of influence, an orbit. Have you heard that, friends, before? It's the right thing. If you do your part, I do my part, God's going to do some great things. Amen? You say, what can I do in this church? There's a ministry wall out there. Take the sheets home. Several ministries. There's other ministries, God willing, is going to be popping up. Just get involved. Bringing people to Jesus. This is why this church exists. You understand that? It doesn't exist just to encourage us. It exists to charge the gates of hell and to win people to Christ. Well, he's preached. I'm not getting to preach all day today, so I'm just saying a few things. Amen. I'm glad I came today. I hope you are. Amen. You folks who got saved today, just stay up here and our folks will. And you folks who are standing, just stay right here. We'll pray right here. And I want you to shake these precious people's hands. Tell them welcome to the family of God. If you have a visitor's card, please take it out through the lobby. Dr. Farrell's out there. Mrs. Farrell's right here. It'll be hard for you to get out. So I think I'll just leave you right there. That may help you, okay? Thank you for your music today. That was beautiful. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless now. May the will of God be done in this place. Thank you for these precious people who have trusted Christ. Help them to go forward. Help our church to disciple them, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed. Please shake the hands of these new converts. Let them know that you're glad they're here.